Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris.
Okay, we can. Do you want to do more vocal exercises?
Yes.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
Elastic socks. No, that's not.
The weather in May is better than in April. I'm done. I'm just saying facts.
Oh, that's how you're talking now?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your new recording voice?
Well, I like rain. Yes, I'm enunciating. You know how I used to mumble a lot.
Yes.
But while I was in Bloomington, Indiana,
uh-huh,
I've decided that I would start enunciating since I'm a professional broadcast person.
Are you going to be a diction-based comedian from now on?
Cadence-based.
I see.
Cadence-based.
And how will this affect your material?
I believe it will make it more clear to understand and more relatable to the audiences that appear before me, that I peer before, fuck.
That you peer into deeply.
That I peer into the souls of.
That you peer into the eyes of and see nothing.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride?
Hello.
This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
I went to one of the beautiful Bloomingtons our country has to offer. There's three of them. Each one, roughly 80,000 people. Each one claiming to be a city of trees.
And and maybe not so much?
I mean, two of them are indigenous in Indiana, mm-hmm, which means they're not so much the city of trees as you are the city of lies. You can't plant a bunch of trees and then claim your tree town.
But can I, really quick?
Liars.
Can I guess?
Cutters.
What? Cutters!
Cutters! I mentioned that movie and then didn't, they were like, huh?
No, well, the young people these days.
Yeah,
they live in Bloomington and they don't know the movie Breaking Away.
And I think they just didn't know what cutters meant. Or maybe they're offended because I was calling them
maybe that's actually like a real insult.
What if it is?
Oh, shit.
I just didn't do my research.
You got to pull out some of those I'm sorry cards and start sending them away.
You know, I had them printed.
With your little face at the top. Sorry.
Sorry.
Hey, sorry.
Turn over. Sorry again. Isn't this fun?
I really mean it this time. I love that movie, Breaking Away. If you haven't seen Breaking Away, it is worth your time. But can I guess the three states Bloomingtons are in?
So inspirational, that movie. Yes, I bet you'll get one of them. I knew one of them.
Well, right. I do know Indiana.
Right.
Okay.
The other one, I'll give you a hint, the Mall of America is there. St. Paul is also.
Missouri.
St. Paul, Missouri. I was a boy in St. Paul, Missouri. My peepaw and I used to go out on his propeller boat down on the bayou.
I feel like I've told you this already, but I changed schools between 5th and 6th grade. And at my old school, we hadn't done the states yet.
You had just...
And at the new school, they had already done them. So
you
I'm
walked
this
in.
Student entirely.
That concludes our conversation about Minnesota.
Oh, but I have a question. Oh, shoot.
Oh, the new girl.
When I was a high school senior, I thought that New England was a state, and my friend Lisa Lanyon's mom was so mad at me that she planned an entire trip, because she was from Boston, she planned an entire summer trip for her daughter and I to go on, so that I would learn about New England, because I knew nothing about it.
Wow, I can see you thinking that, because you're a big football person, the Patriots, you might as well assume New England Patriots. What other football teams are named after
areas
or concepts?
I feel like none.
None.
Yeah.
So, go Patriots.
And then, of course, Bloomington, Maine.
Yes, and who can forget Bloomington, Baja California?
the Baja area?
Yes, get a Latin rub down at the spa, Bloomington Spa.
What is your opinion, feeling about getting massages from men?
Opinion slash feeling?
Yeah.
I'm actually extremely comfortable with that concept.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that I'm more comfortable if it were, let's say, I need one of my groin rub downs. One of my monthly groin rub downs.
No.
I would rather it be a man because I have a feeling, although I guess I'd be confronted even more so if it's something, you know, just, well, my life's a little different. But I have a feeling I would not, you know, everyone has the fear of when you see a doctor or something that you'll just get a boner.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I have that a lot.
I think that there's a chance. I went to this place where it was like a Korean massage place, and they're really hard on you. And those ladies
emotionally?
They just were like, hey, is this, I think they were hinting like, we can do this too. And I'm like, oh, no, that's okay. But my penis didn't recognize their efforts. So I think.
So you weren't going to pay for it.
My point is I'm asexual. No.
Simply not true. Pardon me.
Yes.
I think that's really weird that you can, that for a lot of men, that's just kind of like an end of massage bonus, if they want.
You hear that more often than I think it is.
You think it's more of a rumor?
Yeah, I think it is. I'd like to think so.
That Jack Shacks are just gossip?
Well, I mean, in town, I think there are just cheap massage places. But in Texas, it was hilarious that late at night, there was roadside, usually a mobile home modified,
no.
that provided massage,
no.
sometimes deep tissue, along with the highly related lingerie model.
What?
Let's say you pull a groin trying to buy your wife some fancy underpants. Damn, you didn't have time to see if they will fit her.
Mm.
And you have this pulled groin issue.
That you
can. There's a one-stop shop where you can get those muscles loosened up and have someone spin around in that new negligee. And then you can go, yep, that'll fit my wife.
Mm.
Oops, I'm coming.
In a mobile home on the side of the road.
Right next to three churches.
No.
Texas, you know you do it.
Texas, you got it all.
You're like your own funny country. Texas, man, you don't just melt cheese on everything and make it better.
No, there's much more.
Yeah. You bring titties to church. Oh, Texas.
How many bruises are the minimum of those lingerie models in those mobile homes, do you think?
Are we just talking legs?
Yes.
It's hard to be a working single mama.
I know it. But you don't have to tell me. Damn.
You fill up your pants and it's just like bruise. Bruises, a xylophone of bruises.
All I can picture in my head is a thigh with a dark purple bruise, but then it's also kind of pale, or it's like, oh, that shouldn't be out, but it's out on display.
That you don't have enough iron in your diet.
That's right.
Yeah.
That maybe you drink too much Mountain Dew.
I just started, yes, half your blood is, it's a percentage of Dew.
Yeah. You're literally doing the Dew.
You're doing it to your heart. Yeah, I didn't used to bruise. I was like, oh, I'm a man. I don't bruise. I'm hard as a rock. Now I bruise.
Yeah.
It's a weird point in your life where you'll just bump your side of your arm on your dresser, and then there's just a big purple.
Speaking of which, sorry to interrupt.
Oh,
can we take a spider check?
My spider bite's doing okay.
It looks great.
It just looks like a patch of dry skin.
I see nothing from over here, especially compared to, I mean, it was over 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. Did I tell you that someone saw it and said, that's an allergic reaction. You have to jam this EpiPen in your leg.
Really?
Which is like the scene from Pulp Fiction. There's, what is in it that made me feel like I was on cocaine?
Ephedrine?
I think that was in it. And
I think.
EpiPen? I wanted to see if I could.
Or epinephrine or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe that's why the Epi and yeah. You're
it's
right.
An upper.
It would have taken me all day and a stack of papers to have come to that conclusion. But I wanted to see if I could do it to myself. So, and I, she was like, it's not, they were lawyers. And so they, if it was bad, I think they would have thought, we shouldn't have them do this. We're successful lawyers. This is a bad idea.
Yes,
they
were we'll like, be liable.
Yeah. And, okay. And it was kind of itching. And I had bites from being on the river. So I stabbed it in there. All of my mosquito bites disappeared.
Really?
But it didn't really affect the spider bite. So I don't know if it, I don't even know if it was a spider bite. It's not like I saw him say, see you later, and then rappel down.
It could have been a different kind of bite.
Yeah, or just a weird reaction to something. It was a...
It was crazy looking.
Yeah, it had that circle. It's still the remains
of
the circle there.
I see a tiny... It looks like a bruise now.
And the minute I stabbed my leg with this thing, this was my friend's friend. They had this nice, missed-out fire-like apartment in San Francisco that had to be... There were two lawyers. They're doing fine. But...
Don't worry about them.
I won't. I'm not. They're doing okay.
Okay.
They had two cats called Maine Coons.
Yes.
Like the state of Maine. And they were... One of them was huge. The other one was fairly normal size, but they were beautiful cats with like giant. I like cats, you know. I even like yeah. I every cat I've ever had, I found in a trash can sucking on some fish bones. But these cats
with a little brown hat.
These were like breeded, you know. They were embarrassed to say, but they want this. The husband was not a cat person, so they're like looked up which cats were trainable and dog like, and
yes, apparently which cats are most like dogs.
These cats could shake. They'd go shake. They'd hold up their paw. She would say rolled over, and they hesitantly when you looked away. Like cats, then they would be like, okay, I'll roll over now that you aren't telling me to. And she would run around the apartment, and this giant cat, like, broom, broom, would chase her. And when she'd stop, he'd get down low. I've never seen a cat chase a person.
Yeah.
Like, intensely. And so I'm all hyped up on my Pulp Fiction stuff, and they could tell I'm, this guy's on something. He's a weirdo. Usually cats like me, but not when I'm all hyped up.
No.
On some leg juice.
Yeah, they're like, stay away from the drug addict.
So I'm petting him, and I'm just like, the cat just was letting it know that he could have taken off my fingers.
Sure.
But God, they were beautiful. I want one.
Sure, will you show me how big with your hands?
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
That long, one of them. The other one that big. But they were huge. And they had like lynx ears, like tufts of black hair. They were amazing. And they're
I've seen pictures, but I don't think I've seen one in real life.
Oh, yeah, Google. I went down just a Maine Coon wormhole. Wormhole on the old enunciate, broadcast journalism. 818 till I die. pictures online of just cats that were, it looked photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
Like people like going, and they're like, their faces are red and they're just slumped over.
They're as big as dogs.
They're huge, yeah. They're so neat. But these people, like, paid thousands of dollars for them.
You know, normally that would make me mad because there's so many just lame-o cats in the... But Maine Coon cats, I think, are worth it.
Yeah, I guess if you just kept going and overlooking all these other needy cats, you could eventually find one
rescue it. But it's like you're saying, I kind of want a bobcat more than I want a house cat.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are.
But they're smart and gentle. They're just, I can't say enough nice things about these Maine Coons.
Maybe there is a Maine Coon rescue that...
Maybe I'll go to Maine.
Maybe.
They are indigenous to Maine. That wasn't just one of my signature word jokes.
Really? Because it was hilarious.
Well, thank you. As is my signature. Slow burn. No initial laughing. But
a thinker.
Once you go home, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess he kind of had a point there.
Yeah, it did end quickly. That makes me laugh every time. When you do a kind of a short stopper.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
It's all about timing.
I'm expecting three.
No.
You only gave me half.
Yeah, there's no conclusion or punch. But, yeah, I want to. Another friend had a Maine Coon. Oh, yeah, in Missoula, my friend said, oh, I have a Maine Coon that I got at a shelter, and the cat came out and just looked like a regular cat with some of the character traits, but obviously the runt of its group and not worth the thousands of dollars to be the kind of cat I would bring on my boat.
Now, when did you get this boat?
Oh, this yacht I got?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I got that yacht. Oh. I was born in it.
Oh.
Yeah, I was born with it.
You're boning that boat.
The SS Maybelline. Maybe I was born. Oh, man.
Oh, shoot.
I can just hear those podcast radios clicking off.
No, they just turned it up too.
Yeah.
Degrees.
Yeah, they just changed the setting from classical to rock and roll.
They're like, I better get some treble on here. This guy's rocking out.
And he's got a monotone low voice. I could use
so
some
just
treble.
More yeah. exciting for me.
More exciting.
The listener.
Less Muppet-like. But yeah, I went, yeah, Bloomington was great. It was fun to do shows with April, like a lot of my friends. You just do short sets like you guys do the show at the Improv. I never see a longer set
yeah.
from her. I've never seen these long bits that work on the road. And she was great. It was really fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
She is, I think she is so hilarious. She did the, have you ever done that show that's at the, it's like the Foreign Legion place that's on Highland. It's that really old-fashioned, like, Veterans Memorial building. And it's a downstairs bar. And it's kind of a famous Hollywood movie shoot spot.
Huh, maybe I would know it if I was there shooting a movie.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah. It's like an Art Deco looking bar.
Okay.
And I think they did some of the shots of The Shining in part of this place.
Oh, wow. So it's like right by Hollywood Boulevard?
It's like Highland? it's up Highland on the way to the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of stuck over on the side, like I don't think you'd notice it.
Oh, okay.
But there's a girl that does a show there, I think either once a week or once a month. And I went with April because she had to do it, and she went last. And there was, you know, like 8 people on the show. So she's like, dude, I'm last. And she was bumming out. She goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take that microphone and walk through the crowd. I'm like, oh, I'd be careful.
Oh, she told me about that. Yeah.
She was so funny because I was like, there's a lot of just old vets here that kind of maybe don't want this shit. And she was so funny.
And the mic wasn't working maybe or she just. Yeah,
at one point, she just started talking like theater style. But I hadn't seen her do that much stand-up. I've been friends with her for a while.
Yeah.
But that was probably the third show I'd gone to of hers. Yeah. She was just hilarious.
Yeah, it's fun to see. It's fun to see friends do good.
And also, there's that stage of comedy where you've done it enough times where things like that, like for a long time, shows like that would shake me and I wouldn't give a good performance because I'd be all mad about the scenario I was in.
When you're in a restaurant and they don't know there's going to be comedy and they're trying to eat.
And all I can do is empathize with the people in the audience and know for a fact they hate me. That's all I can do. And everything that goes after that is kind of a waste of time because I'm just not having a good time.
Yeah.
But then there's this weird, for me it was like after doing comedy for years and years and years, it took forever. Then I was like, it's all enjoyable. Because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, like this is all just scenario management, really.
Yeah.
As opposed to I was supposed to get a standing ovation and I'm not going to get it.
Yeah.
But it took me forever to kind of learn that.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes you like approaching it differently, like walking around the room. Or I did a show like that once and I just sat at a table and it was candlelit. I never sit and do stand-up. I just, I think there was like lanterns. And so I just put my face near the lantern and acted like my ghosts were, my stories were ghost stories. My jokes were ghost stories. It's fun to tell your jokes in like a spooky, like you're telling a ghost story. And when else are you going to do that? At a comedy club? No, in a weird situation where your back's against the wall and there's spooky lanterns.
You have to have a lantern. You have to.
If there's curtains, you have to have lanterns. I'm just talking about old-timey restaurant Hollywood.
Please have at least one bale of hay.
And a petite filet on the menu.
Everything has to be a la carte.
I'm tired of telling this city how it should be run.
But you know.
Yeah.
So you might as well tell them.
I've been here coming up on a decade and a half.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not sure what accent I was trying to do.
No, I don't know why I was doing an accent.
I went into a really weird one.
So after in Bloomington, they didn't. I just change subjects all the time.
Go for it.
And after they didn't recognize the movie Breaking Away,
Cutters,
which is the best.
The best movie.
It's so inspirational. As a kid, it was. I just loved it because it's the underdogs just really giving what for to those Richie Jock socias.
Yeah.
And but I just was talking about Daniel Stern and how in that movie and in every movie, City Slickers, Home Alone, he at some point takes it in the balls.
Yes.
And that's like a thing. It's so often in every movie that, several times in Home Alone, paint can, and, you know, there's all these nut shots. And he's the only actor that, or the first, I think, that there's the initial pain when he gets hit in the balls. And then he crosses his eyes because the pain is so great that it becomes euphoric. It's like, and then I'm crossing my eyes right now. And then he like faints. It's like, that's how bad. It hurts so bad that it hurt kind of good.
Yeah. He has the perfect face for it, too.
Yeah.
With those big, bulbous, kind of, are almost already crossed eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, one time I saw him on Abbot Kinney rummaging through the trash, swearing.
No.
Like the kid in Parenthood that lost his retainer. He was just going, fuck, God damn it. Like he lost his phone or something.
Oh.
But his shirt was dirty and he looked crazy. And people are like, oh, they like scooted away. They thought he was a homeless guy. And I'm like, that's Daniel Stern, everybody.
What was he doing?
He was digging through the garbage and then he went to dig through another garbage. I think he had lost something, but he looked like someone ferociously trying to find part of a good sandwich.
That's insane.
It was insane.
I love that movie. My father loves that movie, and he used to call us Cyril when we would screw things up all the time. Cyril!
What's
if he dropped something on the ground. Cyril was Daniel Stern's character's name.
Oh, that's
funny.
He
was like just the big dipshit of the group. So my dad would call you Cyril if you like messed something up. Go ahead.
And who's the character then, the little guy that in the beginning, the most memorable scene where he's like, punch the clock and get to work, and he just punches the clock with his fist and it breaks, and I quit.
Yes.
I was like, yes, guitar riff.
Well, you know, that's the guy.
He emerged later as a scary, he became scary looking.
He was in Little Children as the pedophile.
Right. I've never seen that. That's the scene.
It's so upsetting.
Swimming in a pool. That's like a happiness type movie, right?
It is. It's very upsetting. But it's actually a great movie. It's unbelievable to watch, like, so much tension.
So
his name's Jackie Earl Haley.
Okay, yeah, that is. How'd you do that?
Because I am desperate, too, because I really adore him. I love his face. I love his acting. The second I saw him in Bad News Bears when I was a kid, I was like, who is that? I love him. What was his name in Bad News Bears?
He's the first Jackie Earl Haley that is an actor that didn't try and shoot President Reagan. Am I right?
I think he was.
In Bad News Bears. Yeah, he was the coolest Bad News Bear.
Wait, was his name Mike in the Bad News Bears?
Boy. Kelly Leak.
Kelly Leak. Leak.
Thank you.
How the what?
But then what was his name in Breaking Away? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Oh, that was so good. Wow. Kelly Leak was legendary. He's this like smoking first baseman or whatever.
Yeah. And then he didn't do anything after some episodic stuff in the late 90s. And then all of a sudden.
And then boom. Scared. Little Children, I think he got an Oscar for.
Boom. Watchmen.
Watchmen. He's so
scary.
Good in that. He's
scary.
So scary. What's that, Scarecrow?
I think that's a Batman character.
Oh.
But he is masked.
What's his name?
Rorschach.
Rorschach.
Thank you, Rorschach.
Ah, Aaron. Man. We
boom.
What if this was, well, we'd have to be answering them as questions, but what if this was Jeopardy? This was Jeopardy.
I would have lost already.
Oh,
I think, well, kid.
That's incorrect. You would not have lost.
I'm sorry, you're not an expert on anything.
Alex, you don't know any of this stuff. It's on the cards. Quit being condescending to your guests.
And grow that mustache back.
Oh, God, we missed.
Please, God.
You look just like Burt Reynolds without it. Like a guy with fish lips. Grow that stash back.
What game show do you think you would do the best on?
I think I'm afraid Wheel of Fortune.
Does that shame you?
Once as a kid, there was just an S and some spaces, and I said, Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. I just knew it.
And you got it right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Maybe it was my dad, but I remember... I guess I wasn't at the time familiar with their work.
Look, it happened.
Yeah.
Whether you were there to watch it happen or you made it happen, it's the same feeling.
Yeah, my dad's brain is similar enough to mine to where I can take some credit.
Yeah, take that credit.
For some of the things he's done. Yeah. Like property appraisal. I take credit for some of those.
Do you?
No, that's silly. That's just silly talk.
Did I already tell you the story of the time that I was at lunch with a guy that dating is a generous word, that I was hanging out with, and we were playing like 20 questions.
Uh-huh.
And in one guess, I think in two guesses, I got, it was a celebrity that he was thinking of, and uh-huh. I got Pat Morita. I said, is it a woman? He said, no. And I said, Pat Morita. And then
we
got up and left that lunch. And he was like, all right, I don't want to go out with you anymore.
Because you're a witch?
Well, I'm sure. I feel like I've told you that story already.
You scared him? No, I didn't know that about the Pat Morita.
Yeah.
I remember every time that guy's name is mentioned.
Me too now.
I think the one thing, not in his defense or to take away from your magic, but everyone's always got Pat Morita on their brain.
Think so?
Yeah. He's always at the top of
that. That knowing smile.
Yeah.
All that advice.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
Yeah. You don't know you're getting it at first. You think you're just working.
But... yeah. You just think you're being used.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it turns out, I think a good probably 7 months later, you realize you're going to win because of him.
Yeah. As long as the person you're fighting is screaming about car wax and fences.
Yeah.
Then you'll know what to do.
It's kind of important.
That was the one thing. It's like, how do you...
I mean, if you're fighting cars, you're fine. If you're fighting a crane, you'll be okay.
Yes.
And then other than that, don't fight.
No.
Probably.
No. No. Mm-mm. You are not equipped to fight just a human coming at you with human arms.
Do you remember the game show Tic-Tac-Doe?
Tic-Tac-Doe?
Yeah.
Not toe?
No.
Doe.
Doe like money?
Oh, no, I don't. Why did I think of deer, a female deer?
You just thought it was a terrible name.
Yeah, tic-tac-toe.
Wink Martindale was the host, and there was a tic-tac-toe board mm-hmm. that was all lit up with bulbs, and there was trivia questions, and then if you got it right, you got to put X's and O's like the Hollywood squares, but it was a smaller version. But behind one of the squares, there was a dragon.
I really think it was their opportunity to put a scary doe.
Like a deer with huge fangs?
Why? Well, it's not Tic Tac Dragon. What? That? Why was there a dragon? They're just like, oh, you
gotta... It was the 80s. No one had to do anything well.
Yeah.
It was going to happen either way.
And it's a dragon. They all put out a cigarette in a giant ashtray.
Pour that scotch. What else should we do? A variety show? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Let's find a reason to get your secretary to walk in here. She says the crassest things.
The Dirty Mouth Secretary. This fall on NBC.
Starring Fran Drescher.
Sorry, I feel like my nose is running.
That's okay.
I apologize.
That's
gross.
Usually me. I'm usually that guy.
That's right. How are your joints? Let's check in.
They're okay as a whole. My hip is not good. It is hurting.
Have you been swimming?
I have, but it seems like it doesn't care.
It doesn't care anymore?
I need to swim more, maybe.
Yeah.
I did some things while in Montana. I was in Montana for about 10 days. And I went like... stand-up paddle boarding, and I went water skiing, and I went skateboarding with some pals, and I did some damage, I think, to where it's like swimming didn't. But swimming always feels good.
Yeah.
Even if it's hurting. So, hey. And I like it in the Olympics now. I'm like watching swimming.
Isn't it the best?
It's pretty impressive now that I am learning to swim, especially the fact that they don't have to wear a snorkel from Ross Dress for Less.
That's right. They almost never do. Although I heard in Rio, some of the swimmers were wearing snorkels because the water was so cloudy.
Oh, wow.
When they first got there.
That's what I would do. You don't want that on your mucous membranes.
No, you can't have it. Yeah, it was supposed to be a little... My favorite is the shot they take underneath because you're underwater and they're underwater.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest. You can see what they're doing.
It's funny, the only time it makes zero sense is with, I watched the synchronized diving, and so they show the dive. It's amazing how they do it. They, like, touch hands and instinctively know when they're going to, that's how the guys would do it. It was funny, they'd zoom in on their hands, lightly touching, but you can tell which divers were kind of homophobic, because they didn't commit, they're just, like, hovering and kind of tapping, but there's other guys that are like, hey, buddy, and then it's totally, they're phalange to phalange, but anyway.
They're like, I'm not your boyfriend, do not put that on me.
And then they'd show the dive, and then the camera goes underwater after the dive, I guess to show their entry into the water, but then they flip around, everyone's Speedo was coming off.
Oh.
And they're just showing butts.
Yes.
It's just welcome to the butt show.
When was this, yesterday?
That was a few days ago.
Shit.
So many butts. It was funny. like you know, I can appreciate just some young diving butts.
Now, hold on.
Like, look at those free butts.
Wait a second.
No one signed up for those butts.
Were you watching certain cable channels in your hotel room? This was not the Olympics.
I was pressed buy, and I bought the weirdest Olympic event. It was kind of like skeet shooting.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to finish that joke.
You finish it. Finish your joke.
You know what I'm saying.
You know what Olympic event I
scat
don't like?
Scat shooting. It was more like scat shooting.
No, you Those just turned it into a totally
sorry.
Different thing.
Well, that's funny because we all know you can't get poo videos at the hotel. Not with the parental restrictions that I always put on myself.
Projectile diarrhea as an Olympic event. Scat shooting.
As an erotic film or Olympic event.
It just is. Anyone at the Sheraton wants to see that, so you might as well offer it.
Oh, honey, there's big jugs, or we got underwater diarrhea.
Oh, my God, water diarrhea. Probably one of the best events at the Dirty Olympics.
That's funny.
I haven't been out of town. Just thinking about staying in a hotel room is so appealing to me. I haven't gone like on a trip in so long.
Yeah, April and I were talking about where is it a bad thing if we prefer a hotel to, like I wasn't, neither of us were looking forward to going home to our own rooms.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in a hotel. It's just a clean slate. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing.
It's the best.
Say, hey, you should take care of me.
Yeah.
Some talking stack of bills, if you can imagine the envelopes being lips. Pay me.
I've lived it for 4 years.
The pillows. Fluff me. You know, you're always at home. There's this pressure to fluff your pillows.
You've got to have the fluffiest pillows in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Otherwise, you are poor.
You
are. But at a hotel, there's like nothing. It's always more comfortable than my bed. Clean
always.
Sheets, more
quieter
clean than my sheets. And I love hotels. And I sleep so well in them.
Yes, it's so quiet.
Yeah.
But the only problem I had, it's not a problem anymore, hopefully, but when we would go do shows on the road or whatever, when I would go back to the hotel, I had no problem, never thought twice about ripping open that $8 bag of peanut M&Ms to eat while I watch TV at midnight or 2 a.m.
Or watch a movie. You bet $12 for old Transformers.
Yes. I want to pay more than it's worth.
Yeah,
please. I'm in a hotel.
I always do. I always raid that fridge and it's like, oh, I spent $50.
Yes. It's so wrong, and yet the best thing, the best feeling.
Yeah, nothing. It's you're on vacation kind of every time, even if you're there for work, which is the only time I'm usually in a hotel.
More so if you're there for work,
because
then you have all this like escape energy.
Yeah.
That was so hard. I need to be soothed in all these different ways.
This bag of M&Ms will do.
Oh, gummy bears? Don't mind if I do. The best.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was a nice hotel.
Did they have gummy bears?
They didn't. It wasn't like that. It was more. It was pretty standard. There wasn't like a. It was a nice room though. But
coffee?
They didn't have a fridge. They did have a coffee maker.
That's the key.
It was such a cheap hotel coffee maker that I wasn't sure if the tray that you put the coffee. It's like a little puck of grounds.
Yeah. Yep.
The tray itself was so flimsy and plastic that I'm like, am I even supposed to reuse this?
You throw half of it away.
I did throw it away, and then when they did my room, I didn't get a new... I threw away part of the coffee maker.
Oh.
Suppose I'll be seeing that on my bank, my
75-35.
Our flight was like a nighttime flight going there.
You got to ride first class, didn't you?
Yeah, it was
April
great.
Told me she had the points, and she...
It was the best.
It's the best. It is... The dream. To me, first class is the best thing that can happen to you in life.
Oh, God.
Including babies.
It was the best, yeah. And there was no babies in there.
Oh, nice.
Coincidentally. And we just both acted like rich 12-year-olds.
Yes.
She had a big giant Coke and I had all the whiskey that should have gone with it. And we had a great time.
That's so awesome.
Blankets. They were almost bothering us too much.
Yeah.
What else do you want?
That's how they do it. Did you have warm nuts like right as you sat down?
No, nor a warm towel. Usually I thought they give you that. It's just a tradition. Here's a hot towel, and you're like, what do I do? And you have to watch someone else. I guess put it on my face. Okay, here we go.
Right.
Too hot. Too hot. They just see if you have a high pain tolerance right when you sit down.
So then they know what they can do with and not with you.
Yeah, yeah. in it. So that part was great. But I before that flight, I was like, I'll go swimming. I'll go eat at this Whole Foody type. It wasn't Whole Foods, but a marketplace. And I ate. And as I sat down, I was wearing my gym shorts because I was going to go gym swimming. And something seemed to shift in my pocket, and I looked down to see if I'd dropped something, and nothing was there. I should have looked more thoroughly because I drove all the way to the gym, and I realized that was my wallet, and then I realized I have a flight in like an hour and a half, and I just lost my wallet, and I have no idea where my passport is. And that street is just riddled with people with grocery carts and yelling at parking meters with pee and poo on them. And so I drove back, and it wasn't there, and the market didn't, the grocery place didn't have it, and I was kind of panicked, and went home, couldn't find my passport. I'm like, I don't have any other picture ID. I'm so ill-equipped, and I had to cancel all my cards, and thinking about what else I had to cancel. And then on Twitter, someone said, I found your wallet. And I want to thank her now, but maybe I shouldn't be saying people's names all willy-nilly. But it was just some girls walking by, and she grabbed it.
Say her first name. People like that.
She, Eleanor.
Oh.
Thank you, Eleanor. You're the best.
If Eleanor, you're a godsend.
Eleanor. It's with an E. So it's Eleanor, maybe. Oh. I don't know. But I'm so thankful that, like, a good person found my wallet, looked up my name on Twitter, matched the photo. You know, it was, there's no other.
Made an effort for you.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
On Facebook, too, found me. And I'm like, I'll come get it right now. Like, pretty on the way to the flight.
Thank God.
Yeah, she's the best.
Hello.
She was cool. And I was like, please keep the money in it. There was like $40 in it. Please keep it. I insist. She's like, nah, it's okay. Use it. And I'm like, what? What are you, rich? And I went to her place, and it was super nice. Oh, you don't need my shitty $40. You live in a neon floating condo box.
By the sea?
Oh, near the sea.
Shit, yeah.
It was a beautiful place. But
that's so lucky.
Yeah, yeah. So really, it started the week off on a high note.
Yay!
Yay!
That's
a high note.
That reminds me that I have let my passport expire, and that's bad.
Yeah,
should change that.
I should do that too. Mine's coming up. Maybe I should preemptively do it. I never do anything that isn't last minute or late.
I know. In fact, we were talking about the mail pile earlier.
Uh-huh.
I had a friend come over, and he helped me open every piece of mail on my counter.
That's a nice friend.
I know. It was really cool because he was helping me with other financial
stuff. Was he Charles Grodin?
I wish.
I always just think that too.
The Duke?
Yeah.
If he came over and opened my mail for me.
That movie, Dave, I don't know if it's so good where he's like.
He's the president?
Yeah, it's one of those loose 80s where he's like, he's a twin, but he doesn't know him. He just happens to look just like him. So the real president's in a coma. They don't want to alarm anyone, so they hire this actor to be him, and he ends up being a better president.
It's Kevin Kline, right?
He acts like Obama the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
he patches up his marriage. He fixed the budget by calling over Charles Grodin, who's just an accountant, and he, in millions of billions of dollars, like, figures out the budget during a one-minute montage scene. It's just the best. It's such a good movie.
Also, Charles Grodin, I started watching a terrible movie about a child who had four imaginary people that were ghosts. When he was born, the ghosts had just all gotten in a bus accident and died at the same time. So it was Kira Sedgwick, Charles Grodin, that guy that was on drugs and on the rehab show, who's a great actor, Tom Sizemore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
he's scary, though.
Yeah. Well, he's like he's white drugs in body
yeah,
and spirit.
Yeah.
Maybe not anymore. Maybe.
But didn't he like slap around some hookers and stuff?
Heidi Fleiss was his girlfriend for a while.
Oh,
but I think
yeah.
they were both on crazy white drugs together.
Sure, sure.
It really goes, off the rails. Yeah. No pun intended.
That was great. See, I would have rejoiced in that moment.
No,
you're embarrassed it happened.
It felt bad to me. But also with the, what's the woman's name? Black actress that's so good in everything and has been in 1 million things.
Well, if I guess and I don't get it right, then I'm racist, so I can't.
I know. Whatever. It's a terrible movie that Charles Grodin alone was making me watch because he's so real and good and you feel like you know that person.
I've always liked him.
So
always
good.
Liked him. Goldie Hawn, Chevy Chase romps. He's just always, I've always liked him so much.
So, the best.
This goes out to Charles Grodin, this episode, to Charles Grodin and Eleanor.
What, two great people in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
There's somewhere here. I bet there's more.
I'm sure he maybe lives in Vermont or something. Who knows?
Yeah, there's no way he lives
Seems like he lives in Vermont.
Yeah.
Under a sweater factory.
Just takes it easy all the time.
Yes, cardigan and up.
Yeah. My favorite thing is, remember when Charles Grodin had his own kind of like a Charlie Rose show on CNN or MSNBC? I can't remember what it was on. Kind of a news show.
Yeah. What happened to that?
I don't know. But it was so funny. And one time they were taking calls and he goes, it was like, James in Delaware, this is your big chance. That's how he introduced a caller. I was just like, I love him so much.
Yeah, he's the best. Yeah. Charles Grodin, yeah.
Good comedy.
Good guy.
Good at comedy.
Good guy. Good guy. Maybe kind of grumpy. I bet he's kind of grumpy.
That's what I like.
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait. You just looked like him. Do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I
probably can't do it again. I was in the moment.
Let's see really quick.
That's why I own that.
I'm sorry to bother you.
Uh-huh.
I just know I'm a huge fan of Midnight Run.
You know what? thank you.
Yes. Okay.
There we go.
That was really
thank you. I can't. You seem nice. No, I'm trying on sweaters. I'm walking my dog.
Chris's eyes are so Charles Grodin pinched
Really, it's more facial Grodin than an audible voice Grodin.
Yeah,
but I'm
very
really,
face
I'm
Grodin.
Grodin it up. I'm Grodied out.
What do you think?
Grodin to the max.
If Howard Kramer was hanging out with Charles Grodin, what would he interject with?
Hey, Charles Grodin, I'm doing a Summerfest thing where people go on jet skis, and I wonder if you could cook the lobsters, because I know you live in Maine or Vermont. Though.
It's called making it fun for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I do on this podcast. I make you do things that entertain me.
Just making lemonade.
We're just lemonade. Watch my fat ass twist, boy. It's lemonade. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My phone keeps... I just have a lot of people coming through.
Yeah, I always rest easy knowing no one's calling me.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a calming thought.
It's all right. I'm having an off year socially. It's okay.
You'll come back.
Things will turn around.
It's like a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
All of life is a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And there are social seasons just like there are seasons in nature.
Yep. And oftentimes in Los Angeles, since we don't get the latter kind of season, it's just instead of the leaves changing, I'll just realize every fall I'm maybe hated by everyone.
Yeah.
And then that, come springtime, people want to hang out.
Yeah. Come springtime.
I live by the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's, hey, my bitterness is going to fuel me throughout the warm months.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's back at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lonely, cold Christmas.
I got to say, though, we were just talking about this. There's nothing better than Christmas in Los Angeles when everyone leaves. And it is like this town is abandoned.
I've never done it. I'm afraid that I will get sad. I have to go home for Christmas. It's like super important. I don't know. For a family that is not at all religious, Christmas has been, maybe because of that, Christmas is very important.
Well, I bet it's also absolutely gorgeous in Montana.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
I got to go to the snow.
Sure.
What you don't know about me is I used to snowboard so much, I didn't even pay for my snowboards.
Yeah, you were a sponsored athlete.
Well, my cousin, Ross, best friend, he's more of a second cousin, he would give me stuff. Oh, and when I got home, Ross was, he said, well, we're going up to the lake. My cousin Scott is getting married. And I'm like, wait, he's not Scott. I'm sorry. I always called him, even when I was a kid, I called him Scott. Now I'm in my head and I've
embarrassed.
Ruined it. Yeah, I've embarrassed
because
myself.
You called him the wrong name?
Yeah. Scott wasn't there. His brother Mike was.
Oh.
But, this is Jim Cole's son, and he's the sweetest. Nick. God, Nick. God damn. What's wrong with me? That's why I was worried. Because I wanted to see extended family. All my mom's aunts and cousins were going to be there. And I was nervous to go. But they haven't aged at all.
Oh.
People I haven't seen since I was 15 years old in my family. I knew so many people there, and they were like, Chris Fairbanks, how you been? You look great. I listen to your podcast. All this. That's why I panicked that I couldn't think of his name right there. But
it's pressure.
But their brains work great.
That's great news for us.
Yeah.
Great news.
Yeah, I've always worried about it because there's other Alzheimer's, but I think my mom's grandma and I think a uncle maybe, but the rest of them, man, it's just luck of the dice or a roll of them rather. How do you play with dice?
I guess you'd roll them.
Yeah, it's not just luck based. You got to throw
them. It's a gravity thing as well.
But they were with it and smart and sweet and funny, and they were all rocking out to Def Leppard and stuff. It was a great wedding on a lake, and then I tried to paddleboard, and then I hurt my goddamn hip. And the head.
But you have to be extreme. I mean, you can't not.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
That's the price you pay, which you're willing to pay, that you're grateful to pay.
Yeah, I wanna still be extreme, but I think my extreme days are coming to a close. But I'm going to get it fixed. I'm going to get surgery.
Yeah, you will.
It's going to work.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's done constantly. My dad's had it done 3 times.
It's easy. It's an in and out procedure.
It's no big deal.
You just leave dancing and skipping in the rain.
Here's what you do. You go in, get a new hip, and get that hip, and you go out.
Karen and I just drank vodka and want to talk about doctor medical stuff.
Love it so much. You know what would be a great podcast is if someone could retroactively in a time machine go back and just play recordings of all the drunken conversations I've had at bars. What kind of an experience would that be?
That would feel terrible.
It would be the worst thing.
I would hate to hear myself. Even and I feel like I don't have regrets, but I would have them if I heard myself.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason I can't even sometimes listen to our podcast.
I know.
You know right now I'm drunk. No, just kidding. There's something Martha Kelly, Martha Kelly, you get them crawfish.
Get in here, girl.
Martha had this tape, and someone had recorded their neighbors.
Yes.
I think it was an old couple fighting.
The two guys?
Yeah.
Little man?
And then set it to those puppets.
Yeah.
It's so good. Is the best thing ever. I know you're drinking because I marked the bottle.
It's so dark.
And it's scary.
Yes.
It's scary. Two scary old guys that live together that are just old drunks. And the Muppets look just like Sesame Street kid Muppets.
Yeah.
And I have to know. I have to remember. I have to find that. It's the best.
There is a documentary also called Shut Up, Little Man.
Okay.
And that is the story of that whole, those guys got that recording.
Oh, I don't know anything
about
that.
Oh, you got
that.
It's okay. Called, it's great. It's a documentary that the two guys that made the recording made.
Is it YouTubeable?
I don't know.
Maybe we'll put a link.
Let me, abundanza. I had a friend, and I can't remember, I don't know if you ever knew Laura Milligan. She was really short and blonde, but she was kind of punk rock, like she'd always have like pink or green in her hair.
I know. That sure sounds familiar.
She was in a band with Greg Barrett, and she was also a performer, but she now lives in San Francisco. But she was one of those San Francisco posse.
Oh, okay.
And she actually started the show when we all moved to LA that basically brought all the people together. It was her show.
Oh, cool.
She's amazing. But anyway, when we lived in San Francisco, she lived in Mill Valley, and we used to go to her apartment or her boyfriend Mike King's apartment, and they had this tape of a guy that used to come home at night after work and going to a bar where he'd get shit-faced drunk. Then he would come home and sing into his own personal karaoke machine.
Oh, wow.
And he would start songs, but then he would start singing his own lyrics about his life.
Oh, my God. How did she record it? Just a mic under a door crack?
Yes, I think what happened is he was taping himself doing it, one day when he went to work, someone broke into his apartment and stole the tape.
Like, I gotta get this gold mine.
Yes. And we listen to it every weekend. Like, I've listened to it so many times, and it is absolutely brilliant. It is like, because it's a man kind of singing like this, but then he goes into Diane from work, you can go fuck is up, but it's like to a Doors song or what, you know, it's unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's got to be set to Muppets. That's
amazing.
Any
kind of eavesdropping is my bag. 100%.
Yeah, it's because listening to that, you feel like you're doing something bad by hearing it.
Yeah, you are doing something bad.
And they're scary. And a guy just singing drunk by himself is kind of scary.
Yes.
You think there's a revolver on the table.
You know there is. And you know that you've done similar. Like, my thing is, like, a lot of times people will be like, oh, do you want to meet us at a bar? And it's not like I think, I don't want to not meet you at a bar because I don't want to drink. I know it's been so long, I'm not going to start drinking again.
Yeah.
What I can't take is when people start to get drunk and they don't realize what they sound like.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When you finally step over into the world of just being drunk and not giving a fuck, which, God bless,
yeah.
I would be there if I could.
Yeah.
But it just reminds me of, like, what must people have overheard me saying for that, you know, decade of time where I was never not shit-faced. I must have said the worst things at the top of my lungs in the quietest places. I just know I did.
I know I did. I still probably do sometimes. I think I've made it's probably a bad thing that when I've had a bunch of drinks, though, no one knows.
Yeah. Well, you handle yourself, right?
I either handle myself, or I've had so much that it takes more than it's healthy to enter your body to actually make me slur.
You have a very high tolerance?
Very high tolerance.
Yeah.
Which I think is bad.
I mean, it just means that you've had a lot of practice.
Ah, nuts. I thought you were maybe going to say that. There was
I just remember my friend Danny Ceballos used to always say, you never slur, it's so weird. And then just like, that's not good. I just remember thinking, like, I want to be proud of it and like brag and tell people, but I know deep down it's probably not the best.
Yeah.
Because that means I'm just used to being that way.
Yeah.
And really making that effort.
Yeah. I think that's probably, it's okay. I'm doing fine now.
You are?
Yeah, I got a handle on things. There was a time where the local skate shop in Missoula made a skate video, and I didn't have any skateboarding footage. So at the end of it, my part was me drunk in an apartment when I was living in Bend, Oregon, snowboarding every day. So there wasn't snowboard footage. It was just me singing in a tub and riding around on some broomstick, and my underwear was down, and I was just doing a witch impression. And
oh.
I believe there was a moment in it where I'd thrown up. And, and that was my name was on it. And I and it was kind of funny, but I saw it, and I was like, guys, I did not sign off on this. My friends made the video, and they thought, oh, this is funny. But outside of our peer group, it's a sad kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Although that's when you're supposed to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a young skateboarder and you're not doing that, go fuck yourself.
Actually, I'd love to see that footage.
I would never stop laughing.
I think the last time I saw it, I was like, God, I was in good shape.
There's a lot to be proud of.
Yeah. Look at that guy. Is he doing wrong? Look, he's almost got abs.
Look, and he likes witches. That's good. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's dangerously a broken broom, too. It should not have been between my legs.
Oh, yeah, no. You had to be careful with that.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people beat themselves up for getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, I got so drunk at the bar last night. I got so drunk at that party. It's like, what were you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, especially in L.A., I think, because so many people, like, keep their shit tight because they're always networking or whatever.
Right.
But ultimately, it's like, if you're at a bar or if you're at a party, you're supposed to get drunk.
There's times where I don't blame myself because there's days where I just don't. I'm not that hungry, and I'd maybe eat once in the morning, and then I don't eat the rest of the day. And then I'm like, oh, I'll have a couple drinks with a friend. And then I haven't eaten, and I'm a cartoon hobo burping up bubbles with all my belongings in a kerchief on a stick all of a sudden. And I can't. I'm like, how did this happen? Oh, yeah, I forgot to eat.
That's the Chi Omega mistake, where you didn't eat, but you got drunk.
Who's Chi Omega?
Just a sorority girl.
Oh,
you
mean Sigma Chi Omega.
Is
Should I do
one?
My Kappa Cappuccino joke?
Would you, please?
This is just really a fraternity that's on edge. They've had too much coffee.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Their
dead mother or whatever just only made them coffee.
Oh, I thought you said their dead mother.
Dead. This fraternity has layers.
Their dead mother's haunting them, and it makes them drink.
Yeah.
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 That could happen.
It's coffee. There we go. Sorry, we had to test. That was a test of the emergency broadcast system. The next time you hear that, wind is going to peel off your roof.
Oops. Wind.
Sorry, we have to stop for a minute here.
Boop.
Well, that concludes our test.
Just a test.
Sorry.
No big deal.
You don't know what to do if it's the real thing, though. So next time, even if it is a test, put on a helmet and get in your bathtub.
Yes, please.
You don't know what's coming.
And helmet up anything else nearby.
A cat.
A plant.
You better have helmets, because you're going to need one.
Every dish in the pantry.
Put a helmet on your toaster.
Get the mailman indoors.
Oh, that'd be so... That's a funny scene from something. A twister starting. Someone sees a mailman. They run, grab him, put a helmet on his head, and put him in the bathtub. Yep. And hang out with him in the bathtub.
And then they start opening mail. Look at this shit.
Yeah. I hope this isn't the last bill I get. And the roof starts shaking. And then it leaves town. The mailman goes on his way.
And they never speak of it again. Because there's shame in being in the bathtub with another person.
Plus, you don't want to get to know your mailman.
No, God, no. Then they want to use your bathroom.
Yeah, you don't want to piss them off either.
No. Say goodbye to those Val packs. You think you're going to get coupons in the mail if you piss that guy off? Hell no. Come on. Don't be crazy.
I like it.
How much longer?
Should we talk?
Yeah.
We're getting close. We don't have a guest today. That's okay. When we take breaks like this, I think you and I enjoy it the most.
Yep.
And I think our guests really like it when we have these reunions.
They love it. They love not being here. Well, because when we're apart, then I need to recalibrate with the actual person I do the podcast with.
Yeah.
When there's another person here, most of the time I'm always like...
Yeah, our settings are off. We have to recalibrate.
Right. We have to recalibrate, and we know what the team is doing. Mm-hmm. We function as a bilateral unit.
Mm-hmm.
And the comedy, then... If you could see my hands right now, listeners, my fingers are intertwined, and I'm kind of bringing them up and down in a symbolic... it's unity.
A lot like this when you open the church and see all the people.
Yeah.
That kind of hand clasp.
It's the people are out, though.
Right. They're on the roof.
It's more of a teepee.
It's like a fun day at church where all the people get out of the pews and they get on the roof of the church.
And you know what they do?
That's what she's doing with her hands.
They open the refrigerator. They take one out. They drink it. They put it back. And then they find out that I'm Chinese and I've played a joke.
That's what...
And I put pee-pee in your Coke, yes. That's what my
hands... There used
hands,
to be a hand refrigerator thing with that?
That's how that whole thing starts.
Oh, my God.
Open the refrigerator, and then you go like that. Take out a Coke, and then you fucking... Some 7-year-old child leads you in a fake drinking a tiny, tiny Coke, and you're just playing along, how fun. And then, boom, they let you know that you've drunk their urine.
Well, that works better than seeing a movie from the 80s to just let us know that we've evolved as humans. Man, we used to be stupid, because that is a dumb...
It's really... Game.
That's a stretch.
You did it, didn't you? Me Chinese?
I think maybe I said that, but I think my dad was progressive enough to say, like, don't say that.
Oh, shoot.
Don't say that.
I thought it was hilarious.
It is pretty hair. I mean, all of my memory of it got replaced by, I think, doesn't Sarah Silverman have a Chinese pee-pee joke?
Probably. Based on that fun children's
this
rhyme.
This weekend, I thought of so many fun new jokes, and they're all diarrhea masturbation jokes. Like, I don't know when I'm going to snap out. I like the jokes, but it's...
Don't snap out of it.
People, it took a while before they realized, oh, he's just going to keep talking about this stuff. Medical, clinical. I should just start doing doctor conferences.
That's a good
idea.
All
I do is talk about bodily functions, my fears, and the fears that I have because of bodily functions.
I mean, you're basically defining what it is to be a human being. What do? We shit and we're scared.
Right.
That's it.
What's more relatable? People want to hear about your life? These are the things I do. I jerk off and I poop. I haven't had kids yet. It'll change. Louis C.K. used to have diarrhea jokes.
That's right.
And he squeezed out a couple redheads.
And then boom.
Bam.
boom.
Comedy got better. Maybe I could just adopt a kid for my act to get better.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Have you heard that comic? He adopted a kid on his own, altered his life just for the material.
I did hear about him.
Yeah, I like him, but I kind of like his material, his diarrhea stuff more.
I feel like the diarrhea stuff is more authentic.
Yeah.
It seems like it's coming from a more real place. Adopt that diarrhea, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying when a parent adopts a child, it's not an authentic parenting.
Oh,
is
no.
That what you're... That's what,
I have that stepped
is
in
what
it.
What you've said.
And we'll be right back.
And we're back. This is your chance. Call her.
This is your big chance.
This is your big chance.
It's like, so that's why I think men do have an advantage in comedy, because men as a societal construct are supposed to be business-minded, taking care of business, leaders, serious, manly. And when you break that and just act a little bit dumb or girly, it's the funniest thing of all time. Whereas women can't do that. Because you can't, if you act manly as a joke, people are like, we don't want any of that.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm just immediately. My friend Vodka. I immediately go to Melissa McCarthy in that surprisingly so funny
Bridesmaids?
Bridesmaids, where she was just kind of like, hey, like just turn, hey, why don't you get up? I can't remember when she puts her leg up on something.
Yes. She's doing that in the airplane. She's flirting with the guy who's her husband in real life.
She's a manly guy. She didn't go. They didn't make her like a lesbian character. They just made her a pushy dude.
Yeah,
trying to get laid on a plane, putting her leg
up in the air.
That's the only switcheroo version of that I can think of.
If you like that, I watched. She's I think funny. It's called Lady Boss, her newest movie, where she wears a humongous turtleneck the entire time with Kristen.
Oh, The Boss.
Is it called The Boss?
Oh boy, I saw when I saw the preview for it, I'm like, that looks unwatchable. It's just midgets getting thrown at her and her punching balls. But maybe it was a bad trailer.
Well, I mean, yes, I have to say I watched it and I had very low expectations because I hadn't heard a word about it.
Sure, I've watched all her movies with very low. She makes terrible choices with her jobs.
Sometimes.
But she's always funny.
I laughed my ass off at this movie. And I was going to tweet it, and then I'm like, oh, I don't want to. This, everything now seems like, oh, it's a political move to show that blah, 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 whatever. Where it's like, no, at the bottom line is, I can watch Melissa McCarthy answer the phone. She is a naturally hilarious
person. She really is the best. Yeah. And of course I love her. I love Kristen Wiig, and I want... The reason I wrote something about the new Ghostbusters, and everyone jumped down my throat like I hate women or something. But my reason for not watching it is because they had That's Gonna Leave a Mark and some other typical lines in the trailer, and it's like typically a trailer is going to have the highlights of the movie.
Yeah.
If Schneike's son of a That's Going to Leave a Mark is in the movie, it might as well have That's What She Said and not in it. And so that's why I didn't see it. It's not because I think they're going to trample on my
childhood.
I
have to say, though,
people got mad at me.
Well, everyone
got mad at me because I didn't want to see it.
It's all like, remember when there was the big, like, after the Daniel Tosh thing, where there's the big fight about can you or can you not talk about rape
or
whatever?
Rape, yeah.
It's all that stuff where it's complex. There's more than two shades to it. You know what I mean? And it's not the thing that you discuss online, because you've got people coming in being trolls. You've got people that are being way too defensive and way too reactionary. And the whole combination, everyone's bringing their worst to the table. But I will say this. I never said, I think I retweeted a couple of things that I thought were funny of other people talking about it.
Yeah.
But we went to the Friday night, 8 p.m., the weekend it opened at the Cinerama Dome, and people were cheering the entire time. And it was the cutest, like, it was mostly young women. I would say women in their 20s. Yeah. But it would be like, it starts off with Zach Woods is the tour guide for something. They're all screaming, like an Elvis concert.
Wow.
And then that dies down.
That's cool.
They're laughing,
like
loving
young
it.
Girls that, oh, the, I didn't
that are
know
just
that it
stoked.
Would
and like,
mean that for young people. But.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really sweet, and it was just people that were like hell-bent on enjoying themselves.
Sure.
And so they did, and so I did, because everybody else, it was just like everyone had a huge smile on their face in the theater.
Okay,
it was great.
I'm going to see it.
But I have to say this.
All
too,
Ghostbusters matter.
You.
I was going to tweet that, and I never did. I thought I'd say it now.
Please never, never tweet that. Do not do it. I'm not kidding.
Uncle Whiskey made it laugh.
Oh.
Okay.
There are, you can tell the editing process something went wrong.
Yeah.
Because there's things that need to be there that aren't.
Yeah.
And there's things that you can tell they shot afterwards and put in. Whatever.
Slimer's a cardboard cutout.
That someone has on a big popsicle stick. No, but, so yes, it's, yeah. But at the same time, it kind of, in at least in my singular experience of it, transcended all that because it was just like, it's all women on screen the entire time, and the men that come on screen come on as women usually come on screen as a kind of like, oh, it's you being a perfunctory, this one single thing. And it's just kind of satisfying in that way.
Okay,
as bad as that might sound.
I'm going to see it. Hey, should we plug anything before we close
shop? You know what we have to plug? This coming, cancel, go back to this.
Business class.
Business class. We're at it again.
It's a comedy show.
You know us. Business class. What is this? August?
Business class.
August
10th?
Yes. Thank you. Wednesday, August 10th at 10 p.m. at the Improv Lab.
The famous Hollywood Improvisation Laboratory.
The laboratory. And it's going to be Nate Craig. It's going to be...
I live with him.
Kara Klink.
She's great.
She's the best. It's going to be Chris Fairbanks.
That's me.
It's going to be Dana Gould.
He's terrific.
He's the greatest. And I just retweeted it. Is there anybody
and April.
I missed? Oh, Gareth Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, Gareth.
Gareth. So it's going to be, this is a great one.
He's the Dollop podcast.
He's from the Dollop. He's hilarious.
Featured in the horrifying documentary Tickled.
Tickled. Oh, my God.
Which I saw sitting next to him. And man.
Freaking out?
Yeah.
I was freaking out during that movie.
It's like the jinx.
Yes, it is. And by the end... That was the one I think we talked about it, where everyone sat in the same row at the sunset. What do you call it? Sundance sunset.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it was me and April, and then like four strangers. Everybody that came in, it was like they kept selling everybody the same ticket in the same row or something.
Oh, wow.
It was really weird. But anyway, when it ended, we all started talking to each other.
Oh, wow.
That's because everyone was freaking out of like, is that real? Is that man? Oh my God.
Well, the silent movie theater, which is more. It's something else, but I always drive by. It says Silent Movie Theater. But,
oh, right. CineFamily is what it's
CineFamily,
called.
CineFamily, thank you. The director was there and did a Q&A with that Fielding guy interviewing him, the Nathan For You guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great, yeah. So we just listened to him talk about it, so that made the experience even better.
Oh,
so
that's
awesome.
So
watch Tickled if
Tickled.
You can.
Oh,
help that guy with his lawsuits.
Nuts.
It's great. All right, terrific. It's good to see you again, Karen.
Good to see you too, my friend.
Nice to recalibrate. Thank you for coming in, Charles Grodin. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN.
AR.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.